I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, eating fresh rooms. Call me private label.
Oh yeah, welcome to that episode of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth. That stands for Permaculture is my passion, and we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Don't have my sidekick today, but I got five other sidekicks. We'll get to that in a minute. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twoldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all. 10% off with promo code PERMA. Don't forget, those seeds are batting 1,000 down there in the high tunnel, and it is hopping and popping. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Remember, your number one problem out there when it comes to EMP isn't an EMP. It's actually lightning. And these guys give you a 25G guarantee if anything gets blown up in your house. So if it gets fried, died, laid to the side, you don't even have to go to your insurance company. These guys will get you squared away. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. And let's not forget Heaven's Harvest Feet freeze dryers. Really, that thing is working night and day around the Pimpstead. I think I just made that up right now. But anyway, that thing is running day and night because it's harvest season and we got to put it away. And it saves us a ton of time. All right. Got all the sponsors taken out right from the get-go. And we are going to get into the main event. Folks, these are folks you're going to want to know, especially for all of you people out there that have reached out to me and said, oh my goodness, I see the status quo. I see the inflation. I see the things that are going on. I see Brandon in the White House. I see all these different things happening, and I know for a fact I have got to get myself squared away. I can't do it by myself, and I got to rely on family. But I've never done this, and I don't know anybody that has. I get this question, y'all, so many times, it makes my head spin. Sadly, every single time I've tried to do it, whether with my family, in fact, the only time it's ever worked is when I did it with people that weren't my family. Every single time I've tried to put something together like this with family, it was like the middle of being in the middle of a Snoop Dogg song. You know, I got me some Seagram's gin. Everybody got the cups, but they ain't chipped in. So it was me, Michelle, and William doing all the work. And then everybody comes around at harvest with their cups out, ready to lay it down. But today, y'all, we have got the special guests, and it was a joy to hang out with them. And I hated, Michelle and I both hated leaving, because you talk about Southern hospitality. You talk about people doing it the way it ought to be done. You're talking about a family that gets it all done and somehow hasn't murdered one another. Yeah. We're talking to them today. You want to check them out on YouTube, Perry Hill Farms. And we got all five of them on today. So before we get to it, if you're not watching on YouTube, which this is going to be on the YouTube Pimpcast, for those of you, most people are generally going to be seeing this, or rather listening to this. So from, I don't know, when I say left to right, you guys are going to see that differently. So why don't we start from one side of the table to the other? Maybe give us a little bit of background on yourselves, and then we'll get into the overview of how you guys are doing the impossible.
All right. I guess we'll start on this side. I'm Eric, my wife, Denise, and I work as a nurse, surgical nurse.
You just got put on call, nephew.
Sorry, Billy. Sorry.
No, it's all good. I'm pretty sure that's somebody calling saying, hey, you said you're a nurse. Next thing you know, they're blowing you up, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get this thing back right.
Unhook your Bluetooth, Denise.
And
Everybody's Bluetooth needs to be off.
There we go.
Hey, he's back.
All right, we back.
We're going to turn our Bluetooth off. They're going to turn my phone slam off.
You wanna, yeah. I won't even tell you who it was.
Well, was that coming from the phone you're recording from?
No. My phone's connected to my MacBook.
Oh, I got you.
So, all right, so, we back, though.
I forgot to turn it off.
So, I I'm a surgical nurse by trade. You know, my wife stays at home now. And, mm-hmm. You know, we've lived out here
22 years.
Right at 22 years now. So it's been a slow, gradual process. But we're in the process of moving my mother and my sister out here. My sister's disabled, and my mother's 70 years old. So we're adding to the farm. And that's a nutshell for me. We were both born in the South. I've spent some time from age 7 to 13 in the Northwest, Washington State. So I have a little. It was way up in Hippieville.
So you got a little crazy in you, is what I'm hearing.
Well, I grew up different. That's for sure. A lot different than down here. But that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, a whole other podcast.
But
for sure.
But yeah, we met right out of high school. She was still in high school and got married young, and just been kicking our boots, trying to make a living.
Awesome.
Of course, I'm Denise, and I'm one of the twins. And that's where our farm name comes from, Perry Hill Farms. It's our maiden name. Now, to understand, all of us bought these two houses that sit on the farm pretty much at the same time, knowing that we were going to live side by side for a long time and raise our kids side by side. Then our parents, mine and Jeanette's parents, bought land behind us and moved on the property. And then we all just started kind of farming together, doing gardening for our families together. And so me and Jeanette were stay-at-home moms, and we just started right off the bat doing everything. Of course, me and Jeanette are twins. We did everything together from the womb. So
it's natural for us.
It's natural for us to be together all the time. So, but that's how it kind of started for all of us, is we bought this property side by side and started mm-hmm. growing and raising kids here. So
yeah, all our kids were raised on this property. And so it's got some very fond memories, mm-hmm. and spending time with my dad and just growing our vegetables and stuff like that. Learned a lot from my grandmother that lived on the hill with us briefly before she passed. And so when our dad was, you know, diagnosed with cancer, we knew that we wanted to incorporate Perry Hill. It was a joke to us. It was just a family joke calling it Perry Hill. And so that's how the name came. And we're just carrying on our dad's legacy, mm-hmm. At, you know, raising your own food and, you know, providing for your family. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. Introduce yourself.
And then my name's Jace. I am Danette and Eric, but there's two Eric. So
it's this can be confusing, but we'll work it out.
The twins married Eric, but I'm Stumpy, what we call my dad, because he's the shorter and the rounder one. You know, we eat good here, but I'm the third generation on the farm. Me and my wife Lauren, we live right down the road, and y'all will see us on the video a lot. And we're hoping to one day carry on this legacy and raise our kids here and continue doing what we do here. But I'm just here kicking. Yeah, I work for the county. So, you know, I work for the state, so I don't do much. So when I get home, I'm ready to do something, you know. So, and I love gardening. Me and Dad's passion is gardening, and we've really – before the big C happened, you know, and everybody, I really got into, hey, listen, something, and these guys will tell you, hey, I was telling them, hey, listen, something big's about to happen, even before we knew it was going to happen. And I really ramped up. We had probably over 1,000 jars stocked up, had cannon salt, and I've really just got into growing my own food. My wife is big on making sure that we're eating healthy, eating good, you know, using herbs in our diet, and really just trying to heal our bodies. And we heal our minds with going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. You know, we are believers, and so we are just we're just here trying to get back to what originally God created.
Well, I remember your wife healed my sweet tooth with that dessert she made over there. And Michelle, just I was just telling folks that don't know, I was just telling them that Michelle took all this cabbage, I mean just about every single bit of it, and turned it into I'm sitting there going on, I guess I don't understand, because I was like, man, I finally got to eat one of them breasties. Man, that was some good eating. Got to eat some of that pork. That was some good eating. She couldn't quit talking about the doggone coleslaw. I'm like, yeah, it was great, but it ain't meat. I mean, and then I'm tearing up that dessert. Yeah, so I got fond memories of the of Perry Hill Farms, y'all. I mean, fantastic, wonderful people. So let's go on down the line, and who else we got here?
So I'm Danette. I am Denise's other half, as twin. I am by trade, I am a cardiac x-ray tech. I did retire from the cath lab last year, but started back working per diem. So I just go back 1 or 2 days a week, helping people there. And most of the time, just helping Denise here on the farm, doing the chores daily. And I'm married to this old guy. We've been married how many years? A long time, 37 years. his name is Eric as well, but we, as you heard, we call him Stumpy. So
that's right. I guess I'm the last.
Save the best for last.
I don't know about that. But anyway, my name's Eric Bowell, and my nickname's Stumpy. I got that in the grocery store where I used to work when I was in high school. And my old boss man nicknamed me that because I was so short. And but anyway, we do enjoy, you know, growing our own food and raising our own animals and milking a cow and doing all those things that we do around the farm. I think I told you this, you know, my desire is to live the lifestyle, not to, you know, make a living out of it. My desire is just to live the lifestyle, Billy. I just, you know, to me, there's nothing better than being at your home and enjoying one another, and enjoying your family. If people would just simply slow down and realize that, you know, and, you know, but we'll talk some more about that in the podcast. And, you know, I was born and raised in a local town not far from here, and garden. My daddy had a garden all my life, and it didn't matter where we was at. If we had to move to town, and we lived in a couple different places, daddy just rented a house, and but it didn't matter. If there was a stretch of dirt out there, he was going to plant a garden, and we always had a garden. And that stuck with me all these years. And surprisingly, I got a brother and sister, and neither one of them care nothing about gardening, but I really, it just stuck with me, and I love it.
Well, it shows. I mean, and the love between all of y'all and the hospitality is just extraordinary. I've been trying to set this up trying to find two spare minutes to put together to be able to set this up, because one of the biggest questions I get is, like I started off with, where a number of people right now are realizing times are tough and they're getting tougher, and there's frankly no relief in sight right now for so many people. And the only solution, some of them see themselves getting thrown out of their homes, and there's a whole lot of other things that are going on too, and they're thinking they got to forward up. I mean, this is the stuff people did back in the Great Depression. The difference is these other people find themselves in a situation where they were very, very accustomed to their own little space. And now all of a sudden they're going to find themselves in very close proximity with other family members. Having been down this road, I know how fraught with all kinds of danger and terror and everything else that can go along with this thing. And I'll be honest with you. Y'all are the only folks I've ever met, and all the people I've met doing this thing, that have actually been able to work and not just make it work. I mean, they say 5 years at the most is the limit for a cooperative community. Y'all have been doing this for decades.
Now, well, how old are you, Chase?
23, going on 24.
And he moved out here when you were two?
Just he had his second birthday here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we have other siblings, Denise and I do. We have an older brother and older sister, and they don't care for the – I mean, they like the fruits of the lifestyle.
You say 5 years. They didn't – they won't last a minute.
But, yeah. Yeah.
It's not their cup of
tea. How do y'all make it – I'll just cut to the chase because there's 1,000 questions in here I could ask. But right off the bat, there are so many people wondering, how do they do it? I asked y'all this probably. I might have asked each and every one of y'all at some point in time when I was there. And I know I got a different perspective from, I know at least from Eric and Eric. And I might have asked Jace too. I'm not sure. But there was so much going on that I'm not sure I was able to kind of center down how y'all make it work. So let's start with you, Eric. Maybe you can offer a theory or two as to how y'all are able to make this work.
Well, first of all, the Lord had to be center of all of it, because, you know, self can get in the way in a marriage relationship, let alone, you know, family, friends, kids, you know. So there's times you got to learn to just be quiet, you know, and we all realize that each person on the farm really has different passions about what's done out here, different skill sets. You know, Stumpy is much more the gardener. You know, he's grew up around that. So we learn a lot from him on those type things. So we just learn to feed off everybody's different skill sets. You know, we pick each other's brains, and, you know, we do kind of try to get a consensus and think through things, what's going to work best, what won't. And then even if some of us are like, well, I don't know if that's going to work great, but we'll try it, you know. So we're not afraid to fail in some things, obviously. But without the Lord being center, you know, you could let self get in the way real easy. And ruin the whole thing. And so, you know, you just got to learn how to forgive, let go, move on, tackle the next project. I mean, to me, that would be the number one thing.
I would have to agree. I mean, if it's not centered on Christ, I don't know how anything really works. Denise, let me ask you, one of the biggest things, I kind of made a list of all the points of failure that go down in different places. Chief among them, at least among guys, and this is why I'm asking a woman, is ego. Is that ever, man, I hope I'm not starting a family feud up in here when I ask this, but I made a list of all the problems, and I'm going to ask a guy concerning some of the things that affect women, so guys don't feel like I'm, so Jace, you're up next. Get ready to get put in the doghouse, brother. But, Denise, I'm wondering, with most of the women who say these things break down, say that there's egos involved, massive egos when it comes to guys. Have you seen that? And if you have, how do y'all deal with it?
Well, I'll tell you right now, these two guys are probably some of the most humble guys I've ever met in my life.
It was a rhetorical question. I already knew the answer, but.
And there is not a lot of ego here with either one of them. They love each other like brothers, and they support each other. The ego comes from the Perry side. Sorry. It's in our genes.
So the roles are reversed is what you're telling me?
You should have asked the guy this question is what you should have.
I'm just going based on the information I have where women claim that they fall apart, that the communities fall apart. That these things fall apart because of ego. And based on my experience, that's exactly what happened twice.
Right. Well, I'll tell you,
guys' egos.
It takes a lot of forgiveness and a lot of just trying to understand each other.
You have to understand. I mean, I've had to learn. I try to understand what I don't know. So
right.
Like if Stumpy is talking about gardening or whatever, you know, the only thing I know is either what I've researched or what I've tried to read. And if he's had experience in it, then we just go with what Stumpy says on that note. I mean, that's just, and I mean, that's how I approach stuff like that, you know. And now if it's something we both don't know nothing about, then we'll talk and say,
you know. We usually ask Eric to go research.
What's the best way to?
Well, I mean, and do we butt heads about decisions that have to be made? Do we don't agree on how things have to be done? Of course we do. Of course we do. But in the end, we all come together and usually we try not to say, I told you so, if it failed or anything like that. We try to, you know, just, okay, let's try something different or whatever. I just tell you, there is ego, but it's not like.
Well, we know where that comes from.
I would say it's more stronger personalities than ego is what it is. Maybe opinionated, maybe. I don't know.
I'm already floored because, wow, I saw two communities fall apart and it was on the basis of ego. And it was always coming from the guy who knew the least, but wanted to put, I, like I said, that was a question I asked because, man, it didn't take a good eye to see that around y'all, that was not an issue. It's, I mean, I had to ask anyway, because that's clearly one of the number one things. Now, number one among the guys, okay, Jace, you're up.
And Lauren is here, so she's listening.
Yeah, okay. Take this however you like it, my brother. But among guys, they claim the number one reason why all these communities fall apart is because the women involved become, there's a cattiness that unfolds.
I'm glad you got that question.
There's a cattiness that unfolds. I mean, if you want to pass this one on to your old man, I'll understand.
No, really and truthfully, just touching back on what Mom and then said, they are twins. So usually when Mom and Denise butt heads about something, the men find something else to do and let them work it out. I mean, that's just the truth to be. And like they said, we always come back together because we know we all have an ultimate goal. And of course, what people have to realize is that you do have different ideas. You do have different mindsets. There's not one person created the same way. We're all created under one God. But he all gave us minds to think, and sin gets in the way, you know. So even though they're twins and they think a lot alike and they all often dress the same, which is creepy. we usually, like I said, we all work together. And we also know when it's time to take a break and walk away. Like, that's the big thing is you got to realize, like Uncle Eric said, when to keep your mouth shut and when it's time to open your mouth. And sometimes when we've all had a long day and we can all tell that we're tense, we can all tell that we're tense with each other. We usually just say, hey, listen, you know, we split up and go to our respective homes and say, we'll regroup tomorrow with a better attitude and a rested spirit. And that's what I can say with that. And there's really, really not that much because with the twins and then you met my wife, you can't hardly get two words out of her, you know. So she's very quiet. So except for when I make her mad, and that's a whole different story. That's nothing to do with Perry.
Different podcast.
No, I totally get it. Like I said, I didn't have a whole lot to say either when I was eating that dessert. It's, you know. Man, sorry y'all, but the food is still flooring me, man. First time I ever got to eat any of that breasty, and then I'm still talking. Michelle's still talking about that doggone coleslaw, and can't get enough of it, y'all. I'm telling you what, these folks, it's just a joy. I mean, I wish I was in the room next to y'all. I wish y'all throwing a little party down there, so I got a reason to come down. So
you're welcome here anytime.
Well, it's just. Folks, I don't even know how to describe to you what a joy it was because it wasn't expected. They just said, hey, there's a party going over here and y'all are invited. I'm like, okay, don't know what's going on, but yeah, let's go check this out. Get over there. Next thing I know, I'm getting an awesome farm tour, seeing how these things are done down there, and just honestly the most incredible hospitality you'll ever meet. But they do a fantastic job. If you haven't already, y'all, definitely go check out their YouTube channel. YouTube, as of late, these are one of the five channels I keep getting unsubscribed from, and I have to resubscribe. So if you have been signed up with them, go and check and see if your subscription has been unsubscribed like mine has. There's five channels that this happens to. And strangely enough, they're almost all, in fact, they're all in the South. Go figure. There ain't one channel, Homestead channel, that I signed. I know, I don't mean to go sideways here, y'all, but there's just a little something that just seems a little abnormal to me. Deep South Homestead, get unsubscribed. Black's Tropical Homestead, unsubscribe. Perry Hill Farms, unsubscribe. And there's probably, now that I'm thinking about it, four more. So go and check your subscription. And for some reason, those of us in the South, y'all, they for some reason, they don't want the value that's coming from people like us to get out there. Is the only thing I can figure. I got other conspiratorial reasons too, but I don't want to go too sideways. I'm gonna put my crosshairs now on Danette. Uh-oh. And get her in trouble. No, I actually got an easier one for you, Danette. I'm going down all the questions I get asked, and I've kind of collated them and put them in order. And you just happen to be in line for an easy one. Maybe not. One of the big things of failure, or points of contention and failure, was, and I think to a certain extent you guys kind of answered this a little bit, was finding direction for the homestead, where some folks, I'll give you some context of what they're saying here. Some folks will say, oh, I think we ought to put our garden over here. I think the orchard ought to go over here. And then somebody comes along and says, no, that's an awful idea. I think that's silly. I think it ought to go over here. Or we ought to put this over there, or go in this direction, or harvest this. How do y'all deal with the direction in which the farm goes? Because everybody's involved here. Do y'all sit down at that table right there over dinner? Or you just, how do y'all work that out?
Well, speaking of dinner, we eat dinner together almost every day.
Wow.
Our meals are, in fact, we prepared meals for the geriatric house next door.
My mom.
I'm just kidding. I really am just kidding.
Well, my mom's 70. Their mother's in their 70s. My sister, she's disabled. She can hardly walk. So we kid about it, but we're all taking care of them.
Right. So yes, we do sit down at the dinner table and we have conversations, and like we said,
y'all more than me and Lauren.
Right. The four of us.
The four of them.
Right.
Just to throw that out there, because usually me and Lauren eat at our house, except for on the weekends. So
generally, we the topic of the conversation is what's up next. You know. We just, you know, the cows need to go to the market next week, or, you know, or we generally try to lay out a plan, you know. Like I said, Stumpy generally knows what needs planting next. And Jace is learning. He's about, you know, organic stuff and how to take care of that. And
permaculture.
Yeah. And
what you've seen when you were up here.
But so we generally, you know, discuss it over dinner, and as a whole decide, you know, what's best. You know, like they might lean more towards Eric on, you know, when the peas are going to be ready, how much longer do you think they'll have, or when do the potatoes need to be dug, you know, and it'd be, well, we need to let them go a little bit longer. You know, on building projects, you know, we might lean more towards Eric, you know, as how does it need to be built, you know, and stuff like that. And then, you know, each one of them just tells us, rest of us, what we need to do. And we just kind of join together there. So.
Well, that was definitely, I'm so doggone dumbstruck. And the reason why is because that is a sensible solution to a common problem.
Right.
Y'all sit around the table, work it out.
Right.
But I don't see how you get to step one if you got any egos involved, which is, like I said, the number one thing that will bust apart these communities. Now, Stumpy, I'm going to get on down to you. And I guess I saved the hard ones for the left side of the table, or at least my left. Another one is how chores are delegated. There's always somebody, according to everybody that does this, that's always shirking a task, that's always looking to get out of the hard stuff. And, you know, always it'll be that person that will always seek the easiest thing, but try to make it look like they're not. That's another one that seems to break it apart. Is that an issue there, or has it even been with the kids? And have y'all had to try to rectify that even among the adults? How do you go about dealing with any of that? Or does it even exist there?
It's actually kind of evolved, if you will. In other words, for a good period of time, you know, depending on who brought what up to the house, you know, I'll use my sister-in-law, you know, she and her daughter started, they were first to get the goats, you know, and then their daddy, he first had the cows, and then me and Jace were in a milk cow. But just as far as, you know, we just don't look at it like that, Billy. As far as you're not pulling your weight, or you're not, you know, we really don't, or at least we try not. Let me say it like that. We try not to let it bother us. If one of us is doing more work than the other one, you know, we do try not to let it bother us. And I know that sounds, it's got to sound odd during this day and time, because people are so, they're egomaniacs, you know, and, but, you know, if my brother-in-law spent all day doing something and I couldn't help, you know, next week I might try to cut his grass and give him a chance to do something, you know, like that. We back and forth one another so much. And you know, but don't misunderstand, you know, we're not perfect, and we don't claim to be. But we just, the thing we put at the top is our relationships with each other. Everything else will just have to fall under that. You know, if something comes in conflict with that, I try to, we're going to stop that. We're not going to let whether or not you're not looking at the chickens interfere with our relationship with each other, you know, or you're doing a little more, or a little less, you know, that's, you know, at the end of the day, if we can all sit down and enjoy a meal that we all had a part of, we're pretty happy.
Talking about the feeding schedule, he asked about the feeding
schedule. The feeding schedule, Jace comes over in the morning and he feeds during the week, most every day.
With the niece and the girls,
we always refer to them like that, but the niece is always here. She doesn't work a normal
secular job.
I work,
but not a secular job. Yeah.
But you know, the girls help Jace when they're here, and Denise here every day, so she helps him. So it's kind of rides on their back. Now, the flip side of that, and me and Eric get home in the evening, we do different stuff. You know, just whatever needs to be done. We don't really have a set schedule. We just know stuff needs to get done, and we get it and we do it.
Yeah, it's hard to describe that, because usually one thing about here is that nobody's not doing nothing. So you might be like, well, daggum, I'm the only one out here picking peas, but somebody else may be doing something that really needs to be done too.
Right.
So
cutting up a tree the other day.
It just varies. So, but now when we got to like pony up, everybody get together to do something, then we'll drop everything else and try to get together and say, we got to get this done. Right. But like Eric said, you know, it's not like somebody's laying up on the couch watching TV while another group's out doing something.
No.
If you're available, or you're not working your job or whatever, you're really doing something around here. Whether it's building something while somebody else is doing, two others doing another task, somebody else is doing something. So that's just kind of
And another thing is we're not me and Denise, or not any of us, we don't sit still well at all. Like, to sit in front of TV, absolutely not. We watch a few of our YouTube channels in the evening time, and that's it. But for the most part, we're going from the time we hit the floor till, you know, it's time to go to bed, you know. And
I don't know who she's talking about, Billy. It don't bother me to sit around.
I don't believe that 1 minute. I
mean, for real, you know, someone asked me, what did you do for the 4th of July? And so there was a group of them that asked me. And so I said, well, I did this, started through my weekend. And they were like, holy cow, you know. And they're like, because, you know, a lot of people just sit around, or they, you know, just go, just enjoy, just relaxation. And we do enjoy that at times, but for the most part, we're doing something.
Just like right before we come on, I had to go out and milk one of my goats. One of my mamas just had a baby, and she's producing more milk than her babies are drinking. And so, you know, it was one of those things. Danette come home from work, went out there and helped me finish that up before we ran in here and freshened up so we could actually do the podcast.
Eric got supper ready.
He got supper ready to feed everybody on the hill, you know.
I was over.
He was
picking
over.
Picking a load up from my mother's house and loading it on the trailer and bringing it over.
I picked a 5-gallon bucket of peas and cut a 5-gallon bucket of okra this afternoon.
Wow.
He's cut his grass. You know, it just, and like I said, I in amongst all that, I was throwing some supper together while they was doing other stuff too. So
nobody's out there keeping score. I mean, everybody just kind of, it seems everybody is aware that everybody else, that first of all, you don't have any bums out there. And you give my use of the word because I have seen it where these things fall apart a lot of times because there'll be somebody out there busting it. But it seems like there's not any concern about anybody not pulling their weight, or at least some weight, or whatever weight that they can pull. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem that's the problem. And I don't hear anybody here. What's astonishing is nobody seems to be keeping score where most places do. It's just this understanding that, hey, we all got a piece of this. Let's all pitch in where we can.
Yeah.
No tally marks.
I'm sorry?
No tally marks.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. No prima donnas either, apparently.
Yeah, each of our job roles too plays a factor. You know, like Eric said, he has a job where at times he gets home early a lot, so he can be doing a lot of stuff, especially during harvest season. Where I have a job that, you know, the first 2 days of the week I won't get home till dark near about, and then, you know, Wednesday we'll go to church on Wednesday night. So that leaves Thursday, Friday, weekend. You know, Jace has a job where sometimes he has some flexibility to do that kind of stuff. And then the girls being home a lot, it just makes it work out pretty well.
Well, walk me through a task like, you know, a typical task where you need a lot of people or helps, you know, get the task done is something like processing animals. Like, let's say it's meat birds or even pigs. How do y'all break that down? How do y'all do that? And how can y'all make that simple for all the people out there that are looking to do some of those like processing tasks? How do you do it? I mean, what role does everybody play? Does everybody have a role in that sort of thing? Yeah. Are there some people that are squeamish that don't get involved with it? How many work this out?
We just did a cow, Billy. I had to work the 4th of July. Eric just talked about that. Eric and Jace got up that morning, and with the help of a cousin, they went, shot the cow, skinned the cow. I loaded him up, took him over to a buddy of mine that I helped process deer. He lets us use his cooler to hang him in. And so they got him ready and hung him. And then Saturday morning, me and Jace and Eric went over there, and in 7 hours, we completely deboned him, ground the hamburger, had everything in packages in the freezer.
Cut the bones up.
Yep, we cut the bones up. We got everything completely done. But now, while we was doing that, the girls was at home fixing meals, you know.
Putting up stuff. Food.
They were doing stuff the same way, but mainly if it's an animal, you know, the three of us you know, will deal with that. And doesn't we all have done it so much, Billy, that, you know, like I said, 7 hours for a cow, three people. I mean,
that's pretty unbelievable. Wow.
He's in the freezer. You know,
well, you're a butcher by trade.
Well, I cut meat all my life, and I'm a butcher by trade. And so that helps. But there again, they've done it so much. They know, Jace knows how to do the grinding, and Eric does too. And any of that stuff, while I'm deboning and giving them stuff to do, they're doing it.
We were packaging it as mm-hmm. fast as he was getting it out to us.
Yeah.
So by the time he finished up, it was pretty much clean up. By the time he finished cutting up the cow, me and Jace were finishing up, you know, vacuum sealing it and putting it in the freezer.
And I'll give you another example of like this weekend. So we, like you were saying, we have chickens, funny enough, that we have to butcher this weekend, and rabbits. So Uncle Eric will probably be moving some more stuff for his mom while me and Dad are out there cutting up the chickens. In the same way and it's just big on communication. Like, we all communicate with each other what we're doing. If we all need to come into a family, because we usually plant a lot of sweet corn and a lot of potatoes. You've seen our root crops, a lot of onions. So usually what we do is it's just all about communication. We'll say, hey, we'll text everybody and say, hey, listen,
potatoes next Saturday.
Yeah, not this weekend, but next Saturday. We're digging potatoes. Don't plan to go anywhere. And so we just all kind of, I don't know if we told you or not, but the potatoes you've seen we have planted, we probably dug over 500 pounds of potatoes. And we done that in about 2 hours with all of us together.
Wow.
We hook up the plow to the tractor and we plow the potatoes up, or the corn. Now the corn takes longer. It takes us about half a day or so, and we'll put up anywhere at 70, 80 quarts of bag cream corn. And then we usually put up 100 or so ears of corn on the cob so that we can do shrimp bowls with. And it's just all communication and knowing, like we said,
shrimp bowl, Billy.
Man, you're going to have me on the first thing smoking down there.
You need to be in on that.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. You guys are such an inspiration. I mean that on so many different levels, because you're achieving something that I don't even know if y'all know how big a deal that is to be able to accomplish what y'all do. And I even encourage folks, reach out to them when you subscribe and tell them they ought to be doing a podcast of their own, because they're naturally entertaining, which is what you kind of need for a podcast to begin with.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
They're fantastic folks. Can't wait to get back down there for something or another. I mean, I don't know when the next festival or whatever is going to be happening down there, but if I should get invited, man, I sure hope y'all got another little thing going. Maybe I'll bring something to the party this time, but I didn't know there was going to be a party.
You know, we talked about that a little bit, Billy. You know, we really wouldn't mind doing something kind of annually with you two. You know, that night y'all come over, we had, how many, 12 or 15 YouTubers that stayed here on the farm with us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some brought their houses, and some brought their campers and stayed.
Yeah.
But we really, and you know,
that was the first time we've done that too.
Yeah, that was the first time. But now, Keepers of the Old Ways is every year. And that'll be going on again next year. We'll be April. Doing some more classes in April, this coming April. And we'll be doing a hog butchering. We're doing them all this year. Perry Hill is doing the rabbits and the chickens.
And the hog.
And the hog. And so I'll talk to Jessica. If you want to come back, man, we can fix that right on up, I think.
Yeah, I do a lot of these festivals. Well, I kind of pulled myself out of doing them for a while now, because things were, you know, I needed things to get done here and needed to be here for it. It's one thing to go out there and evangelize, and there's a lot of festivals I say no to, but any opportunity I ever get to be in the company of y'all, I'm always going to take it, because it's just, it's a fascination and a joy because y'all are doing something. Like I said, I don't think y'all know the full extent of how incredible what it is you achieved. I mean, I go there and I'm floored. I'm like, man, y'all got so much going on here. Ain't nobody fussing and fighting. Ain't none of this turmoil that you see and hear about in, like, in these cooperative communities. Now, some of them, I hate to put y'all in that same nest because, man, they got some weirdos in some of those communities over there where you show up to one of these things and then they're like, well, you still got clothes on. I'm like, what? Yeah. Everybody. I mean, what do you mean I got clothes? What is this place?
Y'all
ain't built that way.
That's what he grew up with.
That was the same stuff I was around when I was young.
Yeah, so if y'all ever get loose and come up here to one of these festivals, I'm going to tell you right now, y'all probably want to just stay armed because
listen, that is truth. I mean, back even when I was, you know, probably 1980, 81, you know, I can remember we would go to barter fairs. You know, they would have a barter fair for right before winter, in the fall or in the spring. And, you know, some of these folks would be buck naked, you know, sitting around a campfire or, you know, it was just a different kind of community.
This was pre Perry Hill Farms. Yeah. this was pre.
Yeah, a lot of those crops though, Billy, were different crops they were growing.
Yeah. They had some of that two story ganja over there too. I'm sure.
They did.
Yeah, those guys are smoking everything but their socks. I got to know y'all. To me, y'all are a fascinating inspiration. I got to know, because of what y'all do and what you've been able to achieve as a family, have you had a number of people reach out to you saying, hey, can y'all show us how to do it? Or... because I can't get over how many people are reaching out to me saying that they're going to have to ford up with family. And I'm like, look, go check out Perry Hill. They've been doing it for a long time. Y'all been doing it longer than anybody I've even heard of. Have y'all had people reaching out wanting y'all to show them how it's done? Because it seems like the recipe is relatively simple based on what I'm hearing.
Well, I guess I'll take this one. I will say pre-COVID, no. Post-COVID, yes. People were interested in what we were doing pre-COVID, but they were like, you know what?
That's too much work.
That's too much work. I can go to the grocery store and buy it way cheaper than what y'all are doing. And we were like, okay, that's fine. You know, we're out here trying to eat better, trying to live better, you know, just enjoying each other. Now, post-COVID, we've had a lot of folks from church come to us. And a lot of people are getting back to that, at least down here. I don't know about how it is up there, but there are a few couples in church that are actually moving around family, and they're starting to do this, starting their own market businesses, growing food organically. And they have come out, and there's been a bunch of people come out. I say a bunch, probably, you know, a dozen or so people come out. Some of the young women in church are coming to my wife, to mom, to Denise, asking, hey, how do we can, you know, when we go to the store, you know, they might not have the property. They might live in the city, but they're making lemonade out of their lemons. You know, they're like, hey, we go to the store. There's a bunch of fruit on sale here that we can buy and can stuff or vegetables. They're going to these markets and they're coming out here asking, like I said, the three ladies, hey, teach us how to preserve this stuff. And so we've actually had quite a few people come up and, you know, people used to look at you like you had three heads when you said, hey, yeah, I shot a cow this weekend. But now, you know, we go to church and people, we're walking by people. They're like, man, when's the steaks going to be cooked? You know, like we're ready to come out there and eat. And we're like, hey, you know how it is. Y'all come out anytime y'all want to and we'll show y'all. You know, we got a gentleman that wants to see us kill our hog, and we're probably gonna do that next week. So it's just, you know, it's the interest, like you say on your videos, and Joel Salatin is saying the homestead tsunami, you know, it's growing and it's getting bigger and people are wanting to know. So I would say in the past 3 years, yeah, there's been a tsunami of people asking us.
Let me let me put this in there too, Billy. And you know, you've been very kind to us.
Yes.
And we don't take that lightly. No. We, you know, with this YouTube stuff, you almost feel like you're walking a line of, I want to be their friend, and I don't want them to think that I'm trying to use their channel to grow my channel. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't ever want people to think that. You know, like I said, you, when I first met you, I said, you know, we got a small channel. And the first, I'll never forget this, Billy, the first word out of your mouth, we'll change that. And I did not ask you to do that. Right. You know, out of the goodness of your heart, you offered that. And when you got out here to our place, the little get together we had, you said, let's go do a video. And you know, that meant a lot to us. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say thank you. Yeah. You know, you didn't have to do that. Mm-mm. And you know,
explain why we started doing the videos, or why y'all started. Yeah.
Originally we started doing the videos, really so our kids to have something to look at later in life, you know. Yeah. Where we started the farm and all that. And, you know, I don't know if that's exactly what you was talking about, but
yeah, that's what, but, I'm, you know, talking about.
But a lot of these people, you know, like you, I mean, I could just go sit down and eat a meal with you anytime, or, you know, talk about this, that, and the other. It hadn't got to be on YouTube. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Man, that people are missing that, Billy. Used to, they'd ride the mule wagon over to each other's houses. That's about as far as they could go.
Yeah.
And sit down and enjoy one another.
Well, I'll tell you what, Eric, I had to film when I was there. And I got to thank y'all as much on my end, too, because here I am. I find myself, you know, hours away from where I live. And then here it is. I see these folks opening these doors, and I'm like, man, I hope this ain't some cult. No, I'm like, man, I sure hope, Michelle, we're going to pull up here. If they ain't got no clothes on, we're going to keep driving.
Stay long enough, Billy. That's what.
Stop it. My grandson did take his clothes off and start calling in front of all of y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 4 year old.
You didn't better bring that up.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Eric. I honestly had to film, and I wanted, and I'm hoping, look, there's a suppression out there. I talked about it in the beginning, and it's much worse than anything I can really say publicly right now. And so we were coming up with other ways to be able to get your story and all the other worthwhile stories out there. Now, I say that in parentheses for this reason. And I get criticized for this because people think I'm airing dirty laundry, but I'm not giving any names. Bottom line is, most people that are doing YouTube are more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. They pretend to live this lifestyle, but when somebody like me or my son shows up and I get over there and I'm like, hold on a minute. You mean to tell me this place ain't what y'all say it is on YouTube? I get over there, come to find out y'all don't actually do your own chores. Get over there, come to find out, oh, you don't actually raise your own kids. You got a whole gang of nannies and stuff out here. Oh, you mean to tell me you're not actually doing the work? You just come in for a photo op? So I felt it. Yeah. I'm like, when I come across people that are legit, and y'all are absolutely the real deal, there was no way, unless y'all told me, look, I knew we were losing light when I got over there. As soon as I got there, I realized, okay, yeah, these folks are legit, man. Everybody's got to know about this. And if YouTube weren't suppressing the whole world, y'all, I guarantee it, would have more subscribers than we got. And we got them just even with the suppression going on in there. Y'all are doing real stuff. You're doing real things. And I want to do everything I possibly can to do whatever I can to make sure the world knows about what you're doing, because we live in this time where we celebrate the idiots and we castigate the intellectuals, or the people that are actually out there doing stuff. Y'all are actually growing stuff from the time that little piggy's born till the time y'all make sausage out of it, or from that cow. Y'all don't know. That's what I'm saying. Y'all don't know how rare you are, because I've been around there and I've seen these other places and all these massive, not all of them. There's some real deal ones out there too, but some of the biggest ones you've ever heard of are not what they seem. So when I come across people that are genuine, that are honest, that are actually the Christians they say they are, that are actually sorry, I don't mean to monologue as much as I am, but the point of it being is y'all really don't know how rare you are. You really don't have a clue on that end. You're so wise about so many things, but thank God you don't know the full extent of how many people out there are complete frauds telling people how to do everything backwards or not do them at all, or they've gotten into this fear-mongering thing where, look, I know the whole world's falling apart right now. Now pass the potatoes or let's grow some. I know all this stuff's happening, but I don't hear – there ain't a lot of these folks are demonstrating – they're talking about the fear, but they're not talking about solutions. Y'all do all of the above, and you are exceedingly rare. You got a family that's extraordinary. And honestly, I couldn't get enough of being around y'all because I was sitting there pinching myself saying, Michelle, I can't believe these folks are real.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
I'm dead
that.
Serious. Y'all don't know just how rare you are. You don't know how rare you are. So, and it's a joy. I can't wait to get back down there. I mean, provided we still got a planet. With the way things are going, and there's something going on down there, I'll be on the first thing smoking if y'all are around, because it's just a joy to be in the same space with y'all. It really is.
Appreciate it. And that's exactly how we feel too. And I tell Dad all the time, and we love the camaraderie. We love the friendships that we're making. Like, and when people say, you know, this is a community, that's really what we believe in. We really believe in a community. Like, we just enjoy meeting new people and learning new things and getting different perspectives from different individuals. And, you know, when we met you, we were just like, man, this guy is awesome. And me and Dad have been watching your videos already, and you know, we were kind of starstruck, and we were like, man, he's got to come out here and eat some of these chickens and hogs with us, you know? So,
man, that was some good eating, man. I mean it. And you know, here's the part y'all don't know is that me and Michelle, we're like, man, I don't even know where to go to get any food around here. We were trying to figure out what we were going to do that night. I said, I don't know. I mean, the guy at the hotel turned us on to one place, and that was like, hold on, you ain't going to tell me McDonald's is the best eating around here.
That's the other thing too, Billy. I mean, there's nothing, you know, like up north, there's a lot of good eating places that are family owned and all that. Not down here, not so much in our area anyway. You know, we really, chains. Not that we don't eat out. We do eat out occasionally.
Ooh, but we don't like it.
But, you know, it's so cookie cutter around here, you know, and we just... And then when it got where we had to stay at home all the time, you know, and because of the big C.
You can go ahead and say it.
We just started cooking more and more, and it was like, you know, why do we even go out?
The interesting thing is our daughter lives across the street with her husband, and he's a city boy, and was raised. He was not raised in this lifestyle. But he has come to appreciate home cooked meals, I think, and you know, going out to the barn and getting your own potatoes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Think about this, Billy. Before 1980, okay, I don't know if you're that old.
I'm older than you.
But before 1980, how many people ate chicken not on a bone?
Exactly.
Okay, so today, if you question people you work with, do you eat chicken on the bone? How many people you think would say, no, I ain't doing that. I don't eat no chicken on the bone.
Right, the majority.
Yeah.
Right, because they don't know what it is. You know, they're just like, no, I don't do that. That's gross, you know? Think about that. Think about it. From 1980 or whenever it was, 82 or... when the first chicken finger or whatever came out.
Yeah.
You know, everybody ate chicken on the bone, unless mama just peeled it off the bone for you. You know, you ate it the way a chicken was done. So today I'll have a conversation with folks about, why don't you eat chicken on the bone? you know?
And wow.
They can't, other than describe that, well, I just don't, it's just nasty to think about that. But just, if you just think about something that simple, you won't eat a piece of chicken off a bone. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, you know, that it's kind of a testament to where we've come. And, you know, if there's anything good that happened about this inflation and this crashing economy, if there's anything good that come from all this is you don't solve national depravity without the crucible of really hard times. The pages of the Bible are full. How many times did the Israelites go sideways and then God's like, all right, going to the Babylonians for a little while, mm-hmm. and you ain't coming back for 70 years. Build houses, you know, mm-hmm. get very comfortable. Right. And you look at it, adversity makes men, prosperity makes monsters, right? We've been pretty prosperous for a long time. We got chicken not on the bone since 1980, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
I mean, we're the only country in the world where our number one problem is too much food. And it ain't like it's good food. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, y'all put me in, Jason, I ain't going to lie. You put me in front of another one of your wife's pies, I'm probably going to demolish that whole doggone thing. And, you know, I mean, but what I'm saying is when we were going there, we had been eating like road food for a week. And then all of a sudden we get invited over to y'all's place, man. We're eating this coleslaw that she can't quit talking about and can't quit eating, by the way. And I'm sitting here eating some meat I ain't ever had before. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. How cool is this? And eating some incredible dessert. But, you know, this is stuff you ain't ever going to get on the road. Man, y'all had me feeling like that little fat yellow Pokemon when I rolled out of there.
It's so funny to me to hear you say all these things, because it's just what we do. We always do.
Our grandmother did it.
Every day she had, if you come to her house for the morning, she was going to cook you breakfast. If she came for lunch, she was going to have you a full course lunch. And then she would leave the leftovers. If there wasn't enough for supper, she was going to cook more and make sure you had something to eat all the time. So it's just what Danette, we're used to doing. And, you know, all of us have the gift of hospitality. We did a test at church to check our spiritual gifts from the Lord. And most of us had that spiritual gift of hospitality or service or whatever. And it's just something natural to us to do, is to feed people, to treat people with kindness and do what we do. So it's just so humbling for you to be blown away by it, because it's just stuff that we do all the time. I mean, we do it for our church, we do it for all of our friends and family and everybody. So
none of us came from a background of plenty.
No,
if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, none of us did, you know. My dad, who died young, he always was on the edge of complete, you know, brokenness. And so, you know, I think to a degree that helps each one of us, and the aspect of we don't mind, you know, working and doing what we need to do to provide, you know. So, you know, we didn't come from an avenue that we didn't know any better, because it was just always handed to us. And I think we see some of that in our society now, and a lot of it's, you know, mm-hmm. our fault, because we've done that to our kids and to other generations. And so the only way that's going to change is when necessity makes it change for them, honestly. So
sadly, I think we're getting right to the precipice of it. Oh, good night, man. I could talk to y'all forever in a day, but I'd love to do it with one of them pies sitting in front of us.
we're going to have to there behind the camera.
Oh, man. I tell you what, man, y'all are such a joy to even see here. And folks, everybody out there in the sound of my voice right now, look, there's a lot of you. And you have been smart enough to come over to the podcast, because you know what's happening on YouTube. We can't say what we want all over there, but I can say anything I want here. And I'm telling you straight from the bottom of my heart, you need to go check them out. You need to go sign up. And by the way, if you're like me and you keep getting unsubscribed, resubscribe. do it over and over and over again. I haven't even asked them if that phenomenon is even happening to them, but
we've been noticing our numbers, yes, dwindling.
Weird stuff, yeah. And it's not organic because y'all are addictive content for all the right reasons, and so we'll see what we can do. You know, some collaborations in the future on a number of things, because honestly, y'all, there's just, man, y'all, I get tongue tied here because it's rare that you find yourself in a company of very, very fascinating, incredible, selfless, godly people. It just doesn't happen all that much in your life. And so we're going to try to reach out to them more often and totally dismantle and disrupt their lives, because clearly they're busy folks and they got other things they got to do, but they spent time with us to give all of us a snapshot of how they do it. How does everybody get a hold of y'all? And are you still selling the salsa and the other things? I mean, y'all still ship all that?
We are doing farmers market locally. Alabama cottage law won't allow us to ship outside of the state. We have to only ship within the state of Alabama, unfortunately. Yeah. Unless we build our own place outside of our home and get outside the cottage law.
Yeah.
Do a storefront, then that would change. But
these are the kind of ridiculous laws I'm talking about where, okay, so I can go over your house and I can eat some of the canned stuff you made, but you can't ship it to me to the mail.
I know. It's crazy.
I might could do it as a gift, you know, a gift to you, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
Sell
you
like, could, it's kind of like selling cow milk.
Yeah. You could.
That's how we used to get around some of the butchery stuff back in Texas, is we would just, well, you want this pig? Okay. Well, I'll just give it to you under plastic. You bought it on the foot, but I'm just giving it to you under plastic. You know, there's wares around all of this stuff. But tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
Our email is perryhillfarms04@gmail.com.
Our website.
We have a website, perryhillfarms.com. You can find us there. Is that everything?
YouTube.
Facebook, Instagram. You can follow us on all those social sites as well.
Well, I have a link down below, everybody. And remember, go over there and subscribe. You're going to be glad you did, especially for all you people out there that are blowing up my email asking, how on earth do I do it? How on earth do I move in and make this work? Well, I think overwhelmingly the answer in a single word is selflessness, mutual love. And it sounds like this is definitely the family where you can find it. So go check them out on YouTube. Give them some love, y'all. Hey, y'all, thank you so much for being with me.
Appreciate you.
Yes, thank you.
So much.
Let's do it again, Billy.
Yeah, we definitely got to do it again. And this time we're going to hit another topic I got a list right here on this sheet of paper that I've been reading off of that I didn't even get five questions in of about 35 I got here. So we got to definitely do this again, because they are uniquely capable of doing so much. But honestly, they really need their own podcast, because they are truly talented. Till next time, y'all, stay alert, stay alive.
Maybe I'm forgotten at the bottom where it's hollow. My golems wanna follow roads that go below Agartha. They want me to chase my sins, but I'm not here to stay with them. Keep a hollow chain, but I don't got